Hello and welcome to Industry Herb, your podcast source for analysis of the inside trends and goings-on in the music industry. It's that time of year again, and wherever you stand on the before Thanksgiving or after Thanksgiving debate, it's mid-December, and it's finally socially acceptable to play Christmas music. I don't know about you, but Christmas music is definitely my favorite holiday subgenre. And to talk about our favorite Christmas songs, we've got Nolan Hogenboom on the show today. Nolan is a great guy and an all-around music head, so we're thrilled to have him here. We're getting in the holiday mood as we run down the list of the songs that inspire, excite, and comfort us through this wild and wonderful time of year. Grab a cup of eggnog, kick back, and be merry with us. Nolan, thanks for being here.
Absolutely, yeah.
Let's get right into it. You want to start us off?
All right, sure. So when it comes to just like classic, you know, Christmas standards, the first thing that came to mind for me, one of my favorites of all time, is Bing Crosby's Marshmallow World. And it's not explicitly a Christmas song per se. It's more of a, you know, an ode to winter.
Okay.
But it's got a great feel to it. Let's take a listen.
It's a marshmallow world in the winter, when the snow comes to cover the ground.
Just an effortless voice he's got.
It's time for play. Mm-hmm. It's a whipped cream day. I wait for it the whole year round.
Me too.
Good song.
Yeah, as far as the you know, your standard you know, band classics go, you can't get much better than Bing Crosby.
It's really kind of fascinating the way, I was thinking about this the other day, just like that genre has almost become like at least for me, like synonymous with like Christmas. Like,
right.
Which is really weird because that's just how music was.
Right. When people are remaking Christmas songs, you know, like you have your, you can make a pop version, you can make a rock version of stuff, but when people... You know, I don't know, I'm trying to think, like, when people want to go with something classic like that, they'll do it in that style. Like, your Michael Bublé's or that your Harry Connick Jr.'s, you know, your the people who just take that style and then do that with, when they're going to try and be faithful to an older recording of a Christmas song like that.
Fascinating stuff. So, my next one is not as good sounding as that, and I don't really know any other way to introduce this song. It's The Fairy Tale of New York by The Pogues.
A modern classic.
You could say that.
Yo, definitely. All right, let's take a listen to that. Kirsty MacColl, by the way, which didn't mention that earlier.
She's not Irish. I just learned this. So, that song, I don't really know what it is that so appealing to me, but I just like the way, like the narrative it tells, because, like, the part we played is kind of like a memory in the middle of the song, and it's really like this guy sitting like in the drunk tank, just like remembering other Christmases where he was happy and like now he's not. And
the things they're singing to each other get
apart.
A bit less favorable.
And speaking of less favorable, I actually prefer the Dustin Kensher version because he made some lyrical adjustments, took out some of the more offensive, controversial phrases that British people in the 70s didn't mind.
Well, that song is still, extremely popular over in Britain. I know that. It was actually kept up. They released it at Christmas, and it was kept off the number one, the big Christmas number one spot that everybody wants over in England by the Pet Shop Boys' Always On My Mind. Fairy Tale of New York with the Pogues or Always On My Mind, Pet Shop Boys. As far as British music goes, you really couldn't get, you know, further away from the spectrum back and forth between those two. So I thought that was a pretty funny juxtaposition there. Let's see, my next song. This isn't, again, not explicitly a Christmas song, but it's called Christmas, and the song itself takes place at Christmas, so I figured we'd throw it in here for fun. Christmas by The Who from Tommy, the rock opera. Yeah, it's a Christmas time song. Let's take a listen. Tommy doesn't know what praying is. He doesn't know who Jesus was or what praying is. How can he be saved? I love the end of that chorus there. From the eternal grave. Surrounded by his friends, he sits so silently and unaware of anything. I love the backing vocals in that verse too, just going back and forth with the ah ah ah, and I always thought that must have absolutely been difficult to record, you know, just especially with being on the offbeat there, going back and forth like that.
Definitely has a very like, cheery feel to it.
Though. Right, like it's Christmas time, all the kids are happy, but Tommy's not because he doesn't know what's going on. You know, there's kind of that dark underlying question of, you know, what on earth are we going to do about Tommy that they have through the, you know, first couple of sides of that record. But it's still a lot of fun to rock out to. Great, great Keith Moon drum fills there at the end of the chorus. Excellent. An excellent song, I think.
The Who is a good band. There we said it.
I sue us, right? It's honestly.
So speaking of drum fills, my next one is August Burn Red's rendition of Carol of the Bells. Fun fact about the name of that band. So one of the members had a dog named Red, and his ex-girlfriend
set
the dog on fire.
Oh, no. Oh, jeez.
Her name was August.
Yeah, I wondered if that's where that was going at the beginning of that. That's,
yeah, so...
Yikes.
Yeah, they're kind of one of those... metalcore bands from the early, late 2000s. They actually, I think they got a Grammy nom in, like, 2016. They've kind of, like, persisted in the, like, the middle underground, but they have, like, a really nice, like, almost genty sound, and you wouldn't think that would pair well with Christmas, but in this case, it does.
Carol of the Bells. Here we go. A classic enough sound right there. I like that.
Jingle bells.
This is a good one for more metal-y renditions, too. You can get real crunchy with it.
Yeah,
yeah. Yep, there we go. You could tell where that was going.
A good one. It definitely like rips a page out of Trans-Siberian Orchestra's book, but there's more kick drum.
Oh, so. Absolutely. that's a rocker.
You're up.
Yeah, all right. My next one, we'll go with The Kinks, Father Christmas. Again, slightly depressing lyrics. I'm not trying to, you know, be a downer this holiday season, you know. But if the music sounds cool, I don't mind as much. I think there's a great... Well, we'll listen to it. Father Christmas, give us some money. Don't mess around with those silly toys. We'll beat you up, don't hand it over. Like I said. You want your bread, so don't make us annoy. Give all the toys to the little rich boy.
I like that song.
Vaguely threatening, slightly depressing lyrics, but we do get that classic Kinks crunchy guitar.
I mean, I feel like the lyrics are in keeping with the Kinks, you know, band-wide personality. Like
raucous demeanor.
Yeah, right,
the
yeah.
Birth of punk, right?
Yeah, yeah, I don't think it's bad for a Christmas song to be negative. I mean, like, obviously, you know, it's like a happy time of year. Hopefully, and you want, you know, these, like, cheerful, happy songs. But, it's also really, like, multifaceted time of year. And it's
interesting
to see other perspectives.
Right. So you get songs like that with, you know, Father Christmas and Fairy Tale of New York and things that sort of show the other side of it.
So my next one is from Tyler, the Creator's little, like, EP he put out last year that was, it was a collection of songs that were, like, I think he said, like, inspired by The Grinch because he did, like, the theme song for that movie last year.
I didn't see the movie. Was that in
the movie? I didn't see it either.
Oh,
I just,
cool. All right.
I was like, well, first, actually, I saw, it's like, saw on Spotify or something. It was, like, Danny Elfman featuring Tyler, the Creator. And I was like.
A match made in heaven.
What? But it was because Danny Elfman did the score and Tyler, the Creator did.
Sure.
So, yeah, this is Big Bag.
That's a goal. Could you please tell me what you know about skipping 24, 25? Because your mom was at her 9 to 5, still stacking up the dough. I was rapping gifts, say 6 with the paper bandanas. Mom was always honest, I ain't never had a Santa Claus. She was my amigo, like my buddies from Atlanta. We was hoping for a signal to a friend to take a jam bag. Fill them up with the produce, big 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 bag.
I really like the way he still. Definitely sounds like a Tyler, the Creator song, but there's also kind of like some bells in the background, and there's like some sounds like they may have originally been Christmas sounding, sort of, and he's done unspeakable things to the sample of these horns.
Right.
And like I just really was impressed by this EP and the way Tyler, the Creator sounds like himself and makes, you know, chill synth driven lo-fi hip hop, but still. Kind of fits
Big Bag
Christmas.
Fill them up with the produce.
Does use a lot of interesting imagery on that song, but like if you think about it, like you know, like the Grinch. And,
no, I get, yeah. Well, it's interesting to have a song like that too, because that's not, you know, it's not really the style that comes to mind when I think Christmas song.
Oh, not at all.
Right. But I do like that when you're in a chiller mood. All right, my next one is Slade. British glam rockers, you probably know them from Run Runaway or the original version of Come On Feel the Noise. Great stuff when you're really in the mood to just turn your brain off and, you know, rock out. But they do have a really fantastic Christmas song called Merry Christmas, Everybody. And let's take a listen to that.
Are you waiting?
I love these backing vocals right here, behind this, right here.
It's gorgeous.
I love those backing vocals at the end there, the bit in the sides there. I think that's a really nice underscore to that, and that, I don't know. I rediscovered that song for myself a week or so ago, and I was really... It's really vibing with that. That really makes the song for me.
I like the driving snare beat in the back.
Yeah,
it's kind of nice.
Yeah, and again, I guess sort of a common theme we're seeing here with mine is that nice glam, crunchy guitar in the background. It's fun. It's fun when your Christmas songs are a bit more, you know, powerful.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's I think really like a great thing about like Christmas music, and that's why like really why I love this. Time of year in music listening is because like you know, like obviously there's like the classics, you know, like Christmas songs that kind of everyone just like agrees are
your White Christmases, your
bells, exactly,
your, yeah.
But then there's all these other like left field offshoots that are
Fairy Tale of New York
and but it's still Christmas, and I love that. It's like everyone's like covering like songs, but they're not really cover songs. They're just like songs that, you know, belong to everybody.
Right. Putting your own spin on everything for there's something for everybody in the Christmas season.
So, speaking of something for everybody, the song was something for Ned when he only was into punk music from the mid 2000s.
Oh, we love it.
This is Amberlynn's Christmas, Baby Please Come Home.
Singing
Christmas at all. I remember when you were here. And all the fun
there we go.
I love that crunchy guitar.
All respect to the classics, right? Your Phil Spector, Wallace sound, 60s. It all sounds great, but oh my goodness, that absolutely blows it away in terms of coolness, I think.
Yeah, I actually was like, maybe, I think I was like 13 when I heard like the original format for that song, and I was really disappointed because I just had known Anne Berlin's for...
Right. There's a lot more... It's a bit more oomph to it.
Yeah.
It's good for rocking out to when you're 13.
Yeah, it was great.
Or now, you know. All right, so my last selection is one that... absolutely one of my favorites. And one that I learned about more recently. The band Low. Kind of... How do you describe Low? Slowcore?
I've heard slowcore as... I mean...
I don't think...
Negative kind of throws all that out.
Yeah, they turned everything on its head with that most recent album. But and I don't know that they prefer that term themselves, but kind of just really like... ambient pop rock? Like, that's not even...
Yeah.
It's not...
Yeah,
it's not,
I mean, like...
Yeah, I don't want you to be thinking like ambient here, but like kind of chill, intimate...
They're not dissimilar from like Claro and Soccer Mommy and Snail Mail.
Right. Kind of a slightly rockier 90s precursor to that stuff, I think. Anyway, this past year, I guess when I was still on kind of a Snail Mail and that sort of thing kick, so it fit right in when I was discovering Low's stuff. And they released a Christmas EP around the turn of the century, and it had this song, Just Like Christmas, on it. And when I found this song, I just... You know, the feel of it. I fell in love with the feel of the song. And from playing that song every night before I went to sleep, I did.
He really did this.
Yeah.
He's not kidding.
I played this song every night before I went to sleep for like the whole month of December. And December freshman year was a really fun time for me. So I associate the song with some really good memories and a really good feeling. So enjoy, Just Like Christmas, Low. I just love the echo on the drum there with the and the kind of that muffled piano kind of gives it an old you know warm quality to it.
Feels like like you're like watching old footage
right
of slavery.
Right yeah absolutely that same vibe and then when we get like the I don't know what those are, French horns, I guess, in the right speaker there in the middle of the verse. Oh, I could go on about that song for a while, but that's a really powerful song for me. It still, to this day, might be my favorite Christmas song.
So, I think this one is my favorite Christmas song. I know what you were thinking. There's not enough music in here by people involved in punk music, but this one's a little bit slower. This is This Good Night Is Still Everywhere to Me by Dustin Kenshrew.
This is like the antithesis of everything else you've put forward.
Yeah, I know, right?
I
know somewhere the
sun is up. It's not. Sounds like Dawes. A little bit.
Hear the stars are shining in this rock. It's a really simple song, but
those are the best kind sometimes.
Yeah, I just really like his really clear, deliberate imagery and kind of just like the idea that like, you know, like the spirit of Christmas is like a year-round thing, even though period of time passes. And this is usually one I listen to through the season, And then that's like the one when like the tree's coming down and the lights aren't up anymore. I still listen to it a little bit and comfort myself. But
it's a good reminder.
Yeah. I love Dustin Kentry. He's a good musician.
Boy, we've covered some good ones today.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, and we're enjoying the season, listening to the music we love, and we hope you're doing the same. So happy holidays from Industry Herb, and Happy New Year. Thanks again for listening. We had a lot of fun recording this one. This podcast was edited by Nolan Hogenboom. Big thanks to him. It wouldn't have been the same without him. Remember to check out our old episodes and follow us on Instagram at IndustryHerbPod. Catch us back again in 2 weeks talking about our favorite songs of the year. Have a great holiday. Bye.